Well, if you'll open your Bible to page 1084, you'll be in the book of 1 John, one of my favorite books in all the Bible, the book of 1 John, written by the old apostle John, the same man the Holy Spirit inspired to write the Gospel of John. He wrote this little epistle, this little letter here, rather, 1 John, then 2nd and 3rd, and then the book of Revelation. So the apostle John, you know, God used him in a mighty, mighty way in his work and in his writing. You know, when Dottie and I was thinking about it, as I was thinking about what I wanted to do today, when Dottie and I were married, August 21st, 1964, that's 52 years ago, any way you want to add it up, she worked at Delta Airlines and had been there a number of years, actually. And one of the good things about working at Delta Airlines in those days, and I'm sure it's true today, maybe it's different a little bit, but you know, it was, in fact, in Atlanta, Georgia, which is the headquarters of Delta Airlines, it would be one of the better, it was then one of the better companies to work. Coca-Cola Company, headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, was a great place to work. Delta Airlines, a tremendous place to work. They paid people well, and they had a lot of benefits and perks. And one of the great perks was if you were an employee of the airline, you would get to fly free, not every day, but you would have passes based on your years of seniority. And the longer you worked there, the more free passes you had. It didn't matter where you went, take a short flight, a long flight. And then if you wanted to fly, guaranteed space. See, when you fly on those passes, it means you're flying by what's called standby. You say, what does that mean? It means that when all the paying people have gotten on the plane, if there are any chairs left, you get on the plane. Now, back in 1964, it was easy to fly on passes. They had a lot more flights. They didn't have all the little planes like they do today flying into the smaller places. And so, you know, if you'd pick your times and pick your days, you most of the time would always, you know, you'd get a seat on the plane. And those passes, though, they were in priority. Like if people had vacation passes, they rated over non-vacation passes. And if you had anniversary pass, it would rate over. In fact, when you go in the airport now, many times, today, Southwest, for example, you'll see a board up. It's showing the people flying on standby. But you don't have a confirmed ticket. Now, you could get a confirmed ticket if you would pay 50% the price of the ticket. Now, tickets back in 1964 weren't so expensive, but we didn't make much money back in 1964. Everything's relative, you know. More you make, the more everything costs. I don't know what's what. But, you know, sometimes we wanted to go somewhere, and we didn't want to take a chance on, like, not getting where we need to go. Maybe going to get on a cruise ship or something. So, well, we better buy, you know, a 50% deal where we'll have a confirmed seat for our destination. It just feels better when you go to the airport if you have a confirmed seat than if you're going to fly to a destination on standby. Now, as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, there's some spiritual application to that, because we as Christian people, we're on a destination, and our destination is heaven. And I definitely want to have a confirmed ticket to heaven. I don't live my life kind of on standby, hoping, well, maybe, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. And yet there are a lot of people and a lot of religions, even in Christianity, that say, you know, you really can't know. Like if you talk to a Muslim, for example, that will carry on just an honest conversation with you, and they just believe Islam is right, and what they will say is, you know, we do good things, but they'll go on to finally say, you know, we certainly hope we go to heaven, but you never know what Allah is going to do. Well, it's not just Muslims. There are those in the Christian community that would say, well, you know, you really can't know for sure. What they're really saying is, I guess, You can't have a confirmed reservation to heaven. You're just going to do the best you can and hope the thing works out well. Well, you know, the Bible teaches a little bit different than that. I want you to look with me on page 1084. You're in the little book of 1 John, and look down in verse number 13, almost the end of his book here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know," that's K-N-O-W, "that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now listen to me very carefully. I don't spend my Tuesdays like teaching Baptist doctrine, because I'm well aware that we don't come here on Tuesday to hear Baptist doctrine, nor am I going to teach Baptist doctrine today. And I'm well aware today that in the room there are those that just really say, you know, I believe with all my heart you can have salvation and lose your salvation, and there are churches that teach that. Now hear me very carefully. The last thing I want to do today is try to convince you that what I believe is right. Now, I believe it's right, and I'm entitled to believe that. Here's all I ask you to do. Whatever you believe, and there's all kind of stuff scattered around here, just consider what I'm going to talk about today. Just consider it. And you don't have to agree with it. I don't want anybody to leave saying, "Boy, I got it crammed down me today." Well, you're not going to get anything crammed down you today. I kind of really think going to heaven is a really good thing. And I know one thing. I'm glad I can know, based on what I understand the Bible teaches about, you know, when you're born again, say it however you want to say it, when you become a believer, when you become a Christian, when you're saved, maybe that's just... You know, that, by the way, the word "saved" is not a Baptist word, it's a Bible word. But you know, I know it sounds like an old preacher preaching. Well, I am an old preacher now, I'm preaching, but at least consider that it just could be right. Think of this, that the Bible is right. Well, anyway, or at least what I believe about it. And you know, God gave you a brain, and God will guide you in what you need to believe. But here it is, right here in this one verse. Now, you know, when this whole matter, you know, like, can you be a Christian and quit being a Christian? In other words, can you lose your salvation? Now, the theologians call that the eternal security of the believer. You know, that's just a big old way of saying, you know, once saved, always saved, kind of how Baptists say that. But, like, can you become a Christian and then lose your salvation? Well, you know, let me just talk about that a moment. I want you to turn back with me to page 940 in your Bible. That'll be John, page 940. It'll be John chapter 3. And you know the verse, but I want you to see it in your Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, we all could quote this if we wanted to, but let's look at it. John chapter number 3, verse number 16. I can't even find John chapter 3 in my Bible. But here it is, John chapter 3. I know the verse and can't find it. Trying to read it and can't find it. Well, here it is, John chapter 3, verse 16. If this is all we have, now we just read over in 1 John, but if someone said to me, "Now how do you know that you can know you're going to heaven when you die?" Well, if I had no verse in the whole Bible but John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Folks, everlasting life is everlasting. I mean, there it is. Now, we're in John chapter 3. Turn just a page or two more in John chapter number 6. Look with me in John chapter number 6. And when you find that chapter, look way down in verse number 47. It's a very interesting thing the Bible says. Jesus is talking. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." There it is again, everlasting life, eternal life. We're in John. Turn over, please, in chapter number 10. Just turn over in chapter number 10. Jesus again is talking in John chapter 10 in verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me." And then look what Jesus said, "I give them eternal life." There it is again, eternal life's eternal. Eternal life's not something you have and lose, it's eternal. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any one snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, turn over to page 1003. We'll get out of John. Let's get over in Romans. Page 1003, and you'll be in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, I hope. And look down in verse 23. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn over a page or two in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now here is probably the strongest teaching in the New Testament about the fact that eternal life is eternal. And I don't have time to read all these verses, but in Romans chapter 8, really in verses 31 through 39, and you're very familiar with this little portion of Scripture, but if you look down in verse 38, we'll just jump down there. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, things present, things to come, height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not our love for God, but God's love for us. And then, of course, we'll not turn to it, but over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, there's that great verse that says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, you know, you say, well, preacher, now what you're doing, you're just showing us some verses that teach the eternal security of the believer. Exactly what I'm doing. But now, having said that, I can also show you the verses that people go to the Bible to say, now here is where the Bible teaches that you know, you can have salvation, lose salvation, that you really can't know for sure that when you die, you go to heaven. Now, basically, where they're going to turn is the book of Hebrews. And there are about five different places. They're called the warning passages in the book of Hebrews. And we could work our way through that. They're going to turn to a parable or two. And when they get through with that, they're going to be about out of places to turn. Now, here's the deal. One of the laws and rules of interpreting Scripture is that you go to the known, what you know, and you take it and use it to help you understand what you don't know. Another law of interpreting Scripture correctly is you never build a doctrine on isolated verses. I mean, you can find a verse in the Bible to just about prove anything you want to prove. I mean, you name it, I guarantee you, I'll find me a verse that'll, you know. I mean, if you say, find me a verse on eating too much, okay. Proverbs 23, verse 1, if a man's given to appetite, put a knife to his throat. Brother, that'll knock the pounds off right there. But that has nothing to do with losing weight. I mean, but see what I'm saying? I mean, if you just want to play games with the Word of God, but the whole point is, as you read the Bible, like my opinion, you don't have to agree with it. At least just consider it. Overwhelmingly, if I had no other verse but John 3:16, everlasting life is everlasting. You can't get unborn. I mean, I'm physically born. I can't get unborn. I'm spiritually, I've been born again. I'm not going to be able to be unborn again. You know, I can get out of fellowship with God and do. We do. But I can't get out of relationship. I watched Charlie, Joe, and Joel these days we had them. Several times. Now, they're brother and sister. Trust me, on several occasions, they got out of fellowship. They got out of fellowship. I mean to tell you what. I mean, then they'd get back in. But they never got out of what? Relationship. In Dottie and my 52 years, we've had times we've been out of fellowship. I don't think we've been out of fellowship all day today. But today's not done, okay? But we're not out of relationship. And same. Now, here's the question, though. I mean, I'm going to do what I can do, and if I don't finish, I'll do it next week. As you think about this, is really important thing. I mean, it's the most important thing I'll ever talk to you about. You know, why are people not sure of their salvation? That's a good question. And lots of people are not sure. I mean, they want to be sure. I mean, there are many people that want to be sure. and they struggle with their salvation. Others just say you can't know what you do. You just do the best you can and know God will do what's right and it's just somehow going to work out. But look, I'm 75 years of age. And, you know, every time I go over to Grandview to bury somebody, I glance over in the direction where my cemetery lot is. And I just think, you know, I'm going to be over there one day. Then I think, not really. They're going to plant my body over there, but I'm going to heaven. And I have a peace about that. I have a peace about that. I don't worry about dying. I'm telling the truth. I have to admit, I worry about how I will die. Yeah, I'll just be honest about that. I don't worry about dying. I'm going to die. I do have concerns about how I'm going to die. You know, I've got it worked out just like I want it, but I don't know that God will do it. I've got it worked out just exactly. I've asked God about it, but then I have to say, God, you know, he says, whatever you ask in Jesus' name. That's the kicker right there. The thing I've asked God about how I die, I'm not sure it'd be what Jesus would pray. But anyway, but I don't worry about that because the Bible says the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and offers them to God according to the will of God. Amen? So, you know, I pray the best I know how. I'd have to be honest with God. But anyway, got to get off that and get back on this. Why are some people not sure about the salvation? Well, let me mention some things quick. One reason is, and many Christian people, this would be what they would say, you can't be sure. You just can't really be 100% sure. You do what you do and you try to, but the Bible just says the opposite of that. John said, these things I write unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. John 3:16 says the opposite of that. So, you know, that wouldn't work for me, but it works for a lot of folks. Or at least there are churches that is their doctrine. That is their doctrine. I've got a great example about that, but I can't tell it. I can't tell it because I wouldn't say anything that would be disrespectful to those who would believe different. I would never do that. I just am going to believe what I believe, try to teach what I believe the Bible says, but I would never, ever, ever be critical publicly of others. Well, let me mention some other reasons. Some people who lack assurance of their salvation believe, now this is a big group right here, that salvation is cooperation between God and man. That's where good works come in. In other words, God did his part on the cross. And now what we have to do our part. And so the whole idea is good works. You trust Jesus, but you do good works. And if God's done his part, we'll cooperate with God and do our part. Well, the problem with that is, like, how good is good enough to go to heaven? I mean, that'd drive a man nutty if you thought that through, you know. Of course, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I said, well, don't look at that verse. Well, you've got to look at the verse. It's in the Bible. But that's what a lot of folks think. Let me tell you another reason some people lack assurance of their salvation. And this is sad, but it's true. Many people believe that their sins are greater than God's grace. Now, I've talked to numbers of people in my years of ministry that have lived, I'll say this, just absolutely ungodly lives. And they know that. And you talk to them about putting all that under the blood of Jesus and being saved. In their mind, it's like, my sins are just so horrible, so many. What they're really saying is, my sins are greater and bigger than God's grace. Folks, aren't you glad your sins aren't greater than God's grace? We could take all the sins in this room from all of us, pile them up. Boy, what a pile that would be. And I'm telling you what, God's grace would dwarf it. God's grace would dwarf it. Well, let me tell you another reason. Some people lack assurance of salvation because they're just not sure about the Bible. I believe this is a biggie. I could preach a good sermon on that. One of the things that has happened in Christianity is a changing attitude about the Bible. And I'll tell you where it started. It started in academia, and it trained a bunch of liberal preachers that thought they were smarter than God. Not they just thought their professors were smarter than God. And there's been so much doubt created about the Bible being the Word of God. Poor old people in the pew, I mean, they want to know what to believe, and the people preaching, they're not sure. And everybody's casting all these doubts on it. Well, if you're just not sure about the Bible, well, how in the world would you be sure about anything the Bible teaches? And I'm just saying today, and, you know, I think Billy Graham, I love his testimony when he just got down one day as a young preacher and said, God, I don't understand everything in the Bible, but I'm just from henceforth and evermore, I'm going to believe it is the Word of God, and I'm going to preach, thus saith the Lord. How many times have you heard Billy Graham say, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says? He believes that. Well, I'm not trying to say you have to believe that, but if you don't, if you're not sure about the Bible, the error of salvation would be a consequence of that. Well, some lack assurance of salvation. In other words, they're not just 100% sure they're going to heaven. I'll tell you why. There's some people struggle with that because they never have been saved. They've been to church, joined the church, immersed in the water, sprinkled with the water, whatever. But they're not, they've never been saved. You know, they say, well, I went down and joined the church, so that means I'm part of the family of God. Well, if you were born in a barn, it wouldn't mean you're a horse. I mean, just because you come down there and join a church, and I mean, the folks, there's a whole lot of difference, you know, joining a church and really having to experience the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's really the starting place. Any time that I talk to anybody about anything that comes to see me, almost there'll be some exception. I'm going to just talk to them about their relationship with the Lord. Oh yeah. I'm a member here and I'm a member of that. Well, but let's just talk. If they're not sure they're saved, there's not much I can help them with, because till we get that nailed down, we don't really have anywhere to go. I'll tell you what. Personal assurance of salvation is like a confirmed ticket. Now, I don't know if I'm going to heaven in the coach, in the business class, or first class, but it won't matter when we get there, I'm there. Could I have an amen? And I have a peace about that. And I want you to have a peace about that. And if there's one verse, now I mentioned some good verses, but if there's one verse in the Bible that helps me, I suggest you add it to your list. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And that verse says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, we go to heaven. We have a confirmed ticket, not because of our righteousness, but because we have put our trust in his righteousness. It's not a prayer that you pray. It is putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone and what he did on Calvary's cross to save you. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, today I just ask people here, I did when I started and I do in my prayer, to consider what we're talking about, God. I pray everyone in this room is a Christian. I pray they've trusted Jesus for their salvation. And I pray they have complete, total confidence based on the Word of God that they know one day they're going to heaven. And Lord, whatever happens between this moment and that, I just pray, dear God, that we'll never, ever, ever take for granted the joy and peace that comes in the assurance of our salvation. God bless each person who is here. Bless every need. And God help us to be, even this day and the rest of this week, a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.